We thank you, Lord, for the word that's so rich, and we want to have that word cut like a double-edged sword and open up to us the truth so that we can live as we're meant to live, not in an illusion, but in reality. Thank you and praise you, Lord. Amen. So I did spend a week in Sri Lanka preaching various rallies there. They tend to have large numbers, you know, they get up into the thousands. It's a bit of a challenge. And then I was in India then with Father Bonnie. He was over there with a team. Left them behind on Friday to sort of come back here. Well, to arrive here on Friday evening, then went straight into the Young Men of God conference, which was a wonderful experience, really. We had 140 young men there down at the TOPS Conference Centre. And there was a call on the Saturday night, and something like 60 or so guys made a first commitment to the Lord. So that's a sign of life in the church, and that God's at work. So keep that work in your hearts. And it sort of somewhat fits in with this gospel, because if this gospel is about a young man. But of course, we're told this story by Mark of what happened here. It wasn't just about young men. It was about oldies like me and middles like you. It's a word for us that we need to take hold of. And you know how it is. The young man came to Jesus, said, "What must I do to have eternal life? What must I do?" And Jesus said, "Well, keep the commandments." And he said, "I've always kept the commandments." And then it says that Jesus looked steadily at him and loved him. That's the point. That's the truth of what's happening right here now, is that Jesus looks steadily at each one of us and loves us, loves you. And he saw into that man's heart what had a hold on him, preventing him from really coming into following Jesus, being committed to the Lord, being surrendered to God, coming into the fullness of life that Jesus was offering him. Jesus could see it was his wealth that was holding him back. He was captive to his wealth. And so Jesus puts out the challenge. You know, after, with a great love, it's a loving invitation. It's not a condemnation. It's not a punitive measure. It's not saying your money is bad. But he's just trying to set this guy free. And he says, there's one thing you lack, or one thing you need to do, one thing yet to be done. Go sell all your possessions. Get rid of them. Give your money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And we're told the man went away sad, the most miserable man in the whole of Scripture, because he couldn't do it. It had too much of a hold upon him. And I think as Jesus looks steadily at us today, each one of us, maybe during the course of this Mass, he'll help you to identify what may have a hold on your heart. And it could be a thing, or it could be a person, it could be a dream or an ambition, a consuming desire, but it has a hold in such a way that it shuts out God. It squeezes God out of our lives. And if we're like that, then we need to let go. Because as long as we hold on to things tightly like this and allow them to hold on to us, then we can't go forward in our life with God. We're stuck. And Jesus doesn't want that. He loves you so much. He calls you into intimacy with him. He wants you to discover him as the center of your life, as the first love, the consuming passion of your life. And everything else will gather around that, rather than to fix up things in your life in such a way that Jesus is somewhere out there on the periphery. No, he's got to be at the center. And that's where fullness of life is found. That's where he says you'll have treasure in heaven. When he's talking about treasure in heaven, it's not just treasure when you get to heaven, but it's rather heaven beginning now, because Christ is within you. And all depends on that. And so it's like discovering Jesus as your consuming desire. Discovering him as the first love, the greatest love, the lasting love of your life. This is what he's offering to this young man. But he walks away sad. Why? Because he's afraid. He was afraid to let go what he needed to let go. There's a story from the spiritual writings where... I'll tell the story. It's about a brownie. You know what brownies are? It's not what you think. It's not one of those sort of things you eat. this is a sort of brownie, his little elf-like figure, right? And he used to be very industrious in the forest, going around picking up slugs and things like that, cleaning up the forest with his wheelbarrow. Anyway, in this forest was particularly a special place because early in the morning, the king of the world would come through the forest. Anyway, one day, the brownie was going around picking up stuff, and he found a green blanket that the fairy queen had left there. And he fell in love with this blanket. And he used to sort of feel really snug with the blanket throughout the night, and it was so beautiful. It kept him nice and warm. He was really attached to this blanket. And so one day, a wise shepherd came into the forest. And he met the brownie. He said, "Brownie, have you ever seen the king of the world?" And Brownie said, No, I've never seen the king of the world. I'm never up in time." And the shepherd, without a word of knowledge, looked into his heart and said, "I think I see a green blanket." And then the brownie's thrown into crisis. Will he let go of the green blanket so he can see the king of the world? Or will he stay attached? So I'm not sure what your green blanket is that prevents you from deeply encountering the king of the world. But whatever it is, the Lord will show it to you if you ask him. And he'll release you into a depth of relationship with him that you couldn't have found otherwise, because you need to know the king of the world. You need to know Jesus. And what helps too is in the first reading we're told to pray for wisdom. And in the psalm, it says, the prayer is, "Lord, grant me to know the shortness of my life, that I may have wisdom of heart." I know the shortness of my life. If you start getting an eternal perspective, we've only got a few years here, and then we go through the door of death. And whatever we've accumulated, whatever sort of things that have been really important to us here, they don't seem very important at all at the moment of death. I've often sat with people at the moment of death and they sort of say, "Oh, I spent so much time on useless things." Because now they're about to go to the Lord and he's all that matters. About to go to Jesus. That's who you meet as you go through that door. And so having that eternal perspective is really helpful. That's a wisdom that comes from on high. Of course, the opposite is the fool. Now, the scriptures tell us there are wise people and there are foolish people. And one of the parables that Jesus told us about the fool is, you remember, the man who was doing really well with his business, and he was storing up his barn with all the harvest that he had. And then so his barn was not big enough, so he made bigger barns and then got all his harvest there. And so he thought, I'm doing really well. I'll now be safe and secure. I've got my storage there. Everything's, as it were, in the bank. And now I can just rest easy and eat, drink, and make merry. And Jesus says, fool, this very night your soul will be demanded of you. And where will this hoard of yours be? Whose will it be? And that's how it is, he says, with those who store up treasure here on earth rather than store up treasure in heaven. So we need that eternal perspective, so that we can really see things as they really are. You know, over here, we always have that motto of St. Benedict, don't we? Do you remember that motto? What is it? Prefer nothing to Christ, huh? Have you ever read that? Prefer nothing to Christ. That's a radical statement. It's our motto. Are we living it? Prefer nothing to Christ. Christ must come first. He has to be the consuming passion of my life. It's an all or nothing thing with the Lord when he calls us to himself. And having the eternal perspective really helps in that regard. And that the treasure, of course, is the experience of God's great love. It's the freedom that comes in knowing that I'm loved by God completely and that I'm loving him in return. You know, he's given everything to me, and so now I return it to him. I have a surrendered heart. I'm not sort of trying to cling to this or that. I'm not trying to determine everything. I'm willing to give over to God and allow him to determine what's going on in my life. You know, it's a good thing sometimes just to turn to the Lord and just surrender everything to him. To give over to him, say, even the length of your life. Give over to him the manner of your death. Give over to him whether you're going to have health or sickness. Whether you're going to have riches or not. Whether you're going to have good fortune or bad fortune, give it over to him. Give everything back to him. That's a sort of a holy indifference that Ignatius Loyola speaks about, where I'm not sort of clinging to anything tightly. But I have loves in my life, but I'm not going to cling to anything tightly, because ultimately it all goes, it passes, it's all transitory. And then I'm with the Lord. And so I need to really begin to enjoy heaven now by Christ living within me and him being the light of my life, my strength and my joy, my refuge, him being my everything. So that's why Paul, remember in Philippians 3, he's able to make that outrageous statement, because he knows this. He's experienced it, where he says, I consider that nothing can outweigh the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Nothing can outweigh the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, you might have many things you want to achieve in life, but the most important thing is that you know Christ Jesus, the Lord. And you can't fake that. We need to open ourselves to receive him more fully into our lives by letting go of the things that we need to let go of. Paul says, I consider everything else as so much rubbish. If only I can have Christ and have a place in him. All I want is to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. Now that's, in a sense, that's a holy madness. But it's what the Lord calls each one of us to. The way our lives will unfold will be different because of different vocations, different states of life. But each one of us is called to union with Christ. And no one is not. We need to be open by the Lord. So allow him to look into your heart with great love and put his finger, as it were, on the thing, or whatever it is, that you need to let go of, so you can have more of Christ. Now it creates a space in your heart. It's called detachment. It's very important for the spiritual life that you become detached rather than attached in an inordinate way. Rather than being inordinately attached to something, you become detached and you let it go and give it over to God. I've told the story before, but I'll tell it now. I've just come back from India, so I'm thinking of this one. But you probably remember this story, how they catch monkeys in India. But they have big clay pots. And in the clay pot, in the side, there's a hole just big enough for the hand to go through, the hand of the monkey. And then in the pot, they've got things that monkeys like, right? So nuts and things like that, right? And so they put it out in the forest, and they go away. And then the monkey comes along, chick, 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 you know, and he puts his hand in, because he senses there's something in there that's really nice. He puts his hand in there, and he grabs hold of the nuts, right? But then when he goes to pull his hand out, of course, the fist was too big, and he can't get out. Now, all the silly monkey has to do is let go of the nuts. But no, he's... And so he won't let go. And so then they come along and pick him up and take him off to the circus. Right? Now, the question is, are there any monkeys here? Well, we might be holding on too tightly, right? In a way that's preventing us from being truly free for God. We're captive to something that holds us, holds our heart. Our heart needs to be surrendered, needs to be free, needs to be yielded, needs to be given over. Now, that beautiful prayer of Ignatius is wonderful, isn't it? Where he taught us to pray the surrender prayer. Take, Lord, receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, my entire will. You've given everything to me, so now I return it to you. Dispose of it according to your will. Give me only your love and your grace. That's enough for me. Your love and your grace. Bless the Lord.